Can everyone hear me, right? Everyone hear me? Okay. Everyone hear me? Okay. Okay. So today we are going to talk about the question of whether Kohanim are inherently holier than non-Kohanim. I hope that's okay, Baruch. I know. So what you say doesn't really matter. Okay, now.
That's what my wife tells me all
Yes. Okay. Not only when it comes to Kohanim. So I want to sort of what I want to do tonight. We're not going to look in the psukim themselves, but I want to look at really this commentary of the Abravanel on the introduction to Sefer VaYikra and the introduction to Parshas Emor. But we're going to get to that in a bit, and I want to begin our discussion by pointing out that there are certain laws in Parshas Emor. The Torah says Lo yikruchu korcha, in the rules. Let's see if I can find this quickly. I didn't plan this here, but in the rules of the rules of the Kohanim. So there are different rules. So there are rules about who they can marry. There are rules about Tuma and Tahara, about they have a higher standard of ritual impurity than the rest of the Bnei Yisrael. And then it says, Lo yikruchu karcha barosham, ufa'az zekanom lo yigalecho. This is in Perek Chavav of Pasuk Hey. Uvivsaram lo yisratu sarates. So that they shouldn't make a bald spot on their head. They shouldn't shave off their beards. That means with this, we understand that it means with a razor. And they also can't make lacerations or gashes in their flesh, and they can't do these things in the context. Some of these things are in the context of over a dead body in their sign of mourning. Now, for some of you are aware that these are not only prohibitions for the Kohen. The prohibition of making a bald spot in your head, ripping out your hair when a relative dies, or making lacerations when a relative dies, or rounding or using a razor to shave off your beard, that is something that applies also to the Bnei Yisrael, to non-Kohanim as well. And Rashi points this out in the Perek Chaf of Pasuk Hey. It says Lo yikruchu karcha ames. So this refers to ames, over a corpse. Ah, asked Rashi, "V'alo af Yisrael huzharu al kach? Weren't the Jewish people also warned about this?" So lefi she'nemar b'Yisrael. However, it says in Sefer Devarim, "Bein einecham." It says that you can't make a bald spot between your eyes. Yachol lo yehi chayav al kol harosh. You might think that maybe there's only a prohibition just between your eyes, but not on the whole head. Tavolomar b'rosham. So the pasuk says, by the Kohen, Birosham, Vilamdu Yisrael Mekonim Gzereshava. And we learn one from the other. Nemar Kan Korcha, Venemar Lahalan, Bisrael Korcha, Man Kan Kolarosh, Af Lahalan Kolarosh Bamashma, Komokum Shi Karech Barosh, Umal Halal Mace, Af Kan Bame. So what emerges here in Rashi is what he says is we learn that it mentions twice. Once the prohibition of making a bald spot by Kohanim, and also once by the Bnei Yisrael in general. And there are pieces of information from each section that we learn for the other section. And so we learn one from the other. But this is a little bit strange. In other words, let's say there are four halachos about making a bald spot. So we're gonna write two of them in the when we're discussing about how a Kohen can have a bald spot, or we're making two of them when we're talking about how a non-Kohen can have a bald spot. And we learn one from the other. But isn't that a little strange? We don't find, for example, the Torah telling us that, well, Kohanim cannot eat non-kosher food, and non-Kohanim can also not eat non-kosher food. There's like one section which tells you could eat this food and you cannot eat this food. There's no separate section which says, Kohanim can't do this, and Yisrael non-Kohanim can't do this, and they're talking about the same halachos. You understand the question? Like, why, if at the end of the day, the prohibition is the same for the Kohen and for the non-Kohen, so why is it mentioned in two different places? Any thoughts about that?
Maybe for the Kohen it's worse.
What?
Like, maybe for the Kohen it's worse. In other words, not, in other words, it's like, let's say someone, you know, if some high official did something that's worse than if some Joe Schmo did something.
Okay, so now there it's right. So it could be right. So you're saying maybe, yeah. So let me give. I'm going to get. There's one other interesting approach, and I'm going to sort of, you know, go with what you're saying, Baruch. You're saying maybe there's a higher standard for the Kohen potentially. The Rambam tells us that some of these practices were very very fascinating practices that were done. Like, why were they prohibited to make a bald spot over a corpse? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Aleph, "Ein megalchim paseh harosh kamo shehayu osim ovdei kochavim." We don't shave off the corners of our head just like the pagans did. And Halacha Zion says, "Derek kohani ovdei kochavim hayu lahashchiz zikanam, lefichach asra Torah lahashchiz hazakan." It was the way of the pagans to destroy their beards. And therefore, the Torah said, you can't destroy your beards. And then again, in Halacha Yud Gimel, when it talks about making lacerations, Gdido Srita Achasi Uchshem Shahayu Akum Sorti Bibsarav Al Meisem Ibnei Atzar. Just like the pagans would make lacerations in their flesh when they would lose a relative because of the pain, Kachayu Chovlin Ba'atzmam La'avonas Kochavim. So they'd wound themselves for some pagan practice. So Gamza Asher Torah, Shem Elosis go to do. So it could be that these practices, the fact that the Torah mentioned it specifically about Kohanim, might indicate, based on the Rambam, that the Torah specified that these practices are worse because these have to do with not simply, I don't know, you know, mutilation is bad, mutilation of your body is bad. It's, you know, our body belongs to God. But it's more than that. It's not merely losing control of your temper, you know, so you have to rip out your hair. It's engaging in a pagan practice. It may be the practices that may be that had some religious significance for the pagans. So maybe the fact that the Torah specifies these prohibitions having to do with the Kohen to tell you that, by the way, that Jewish Kohanim don't do this. This is a pagan practice. Jewish Kohanim don't do this. Maybe. That's one way of pretense of looking at it. Or maybe what Baruch wants to say is maybe it's worse if the Kohen does this. Why is it worse if the Kohen does this? So before we get into that, the Netziv points out in Hamek Davar, he says the following. He says, Kavar Nispar Le'il. We already said above, Da'afal gav didin echad lakon l'Yisrael bazeh. It's the same halacha for both a Jew and a Kohen. A non-Kohen and a Kohen. Mikol mako, b'loshen ha'azhara nishtadu. Just the language in the Torah, the warning, it's different. V'hech mirakosu b'kohen b'Yisrael. The Torah warns the Kohen more than Yisrael. The language is worse. Again, even though in practice it's the same prohibition, but the language is more severe for the Kohen. Because it says, Masha Hakasa be Yisrael, Ksiv Sefer, Mishum Hachia be Yisrael, Ksiv, Sefer Devarim, Losasim, Korcho ben Elechim Lameis. When it comes to Yisrael, it says, don't make a balsa between your eyes. Mashmel, Shiyomos, Tikum, Mishum Lev, Lazos, Ayade, Zecher, Lameis. It means you shouldn't do some kind of fixing that's for a corpse. But however, he says, so it has to be maybe around where your heart is. So it has to be between your eyes. So it's limited to the location. And Kohanim says Barosham, Mafil Malkum Shal Yanikar Kokach, who must have a perish Torah. So the Torah, when it comes to the Kohen, it's really in any place you can't do it. And then he also says that when it comes to shaving off your beards, he says that for the Yisrael, it says Hashchasa Lagamri Kederach Avodim. That only if you destroy, like, I don't know, slaves, I guess they would do with slaves. They'd shave off completely. But by Kohanim, he says even cutting two hairs is forbidden if it's with a razor. Again, my point being that Itziv is saying that the prohibition is the same, but the language seems to be more severe for the Kohen. And Baruch wants to say why? Because maybe there's more expected from the Kohen. That's what you want to say, Baruch?
Yeah, in other words, like, If some, no. Yeah, like I said, yeah, if some big official does something, it's more, you know, terrible than it's not.
Right. So, yes.
That the Kohanim are the teachers, so it's worse if the teachers do that kind of behavior.
Right, right. So the real question is the following. When you look at the Kohen and you say that, you know, he has more restrictions, are you saying that because he is inherently holier, or are you saying that simply because he is a functionary, that he's a teacher?
No, but he has a job of bringing us closer to Hashem.
Right.
Also, he's doing that without the shame. So
right.
Right.
So, the question is, like what both of you are saying, what Herbie and Gilar are saying, is it simply that he has a job, and therefore he's held to a higher standard, or is it maybe that he is inherently holier? Now, it's how do we look at the Kohen?
You know, what's interesting is that if you look at the name Levi, when you the story with, naming the kids.
Right.
It says that there's a medrash Rashi brings down that Hashem called him Levi.
Right. Interesting. So, right, there's some inherent Kedusha, maybe. Okay.
Yeah, in other words, it says Vayikra Shemo.
Right.
It says Vayikru, or something like that, Vatikra. And the other one says that she called, and here it says he called.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
She brings down that says
Hashem did it. Yeah. Right, interesting.
Aren't Tzaddikim and Gedolim always held to a higher standard, and you know, they get punished for even smaller infractions than
right. Yeah, no, I think that's certainly an approach, and I think that right. You're all pointing to the fact you're all taking the position. There's no inherent kedusha, but they just job. They have it. You know, they have to teach. Their job is to teach, and I think that's certainly that's what we're going to try to conclude. But what's fascinating. So what's fascinating, so it's interesting then, right? Now, as we're saying that certain practices, so these are pagan practices, and the Kohanim have to demonstrate we're not pagans. So first and foremost, you have to teach the rest of the B'nai so that we're not pagans, so they're held to a higher standard.
It could also be maybe that, you know, it's about a mace. If you're going crazy over a mace, you're saying basically, I don't agree with God.
Right,
so
here.
The Kohanim shouldn't do that.
Right, I hear. Okay. So let's read two passages by the Bravanel, which I think can sort of complete this picture here about the role of the Kohen. And it really goes to the question is, you know, Sefer Vayikra is called Toras Kohanim. It's all about what? It's about Kohanim. And it's about holiness. And the question, of course, is who are the Kohanim? And what's this Sefer really about? And if you look, it's very fascinating how the Abravanel describes the Sefer in his introduction to Sefer Vayikra, and how he introduces the Sefer in his introduction to Parshas Emor. So if you look down the Abravanel here, he says, "Achri asher v'sefer rishon mataras elokim siper hakasuv brias ha'olam v'chidusho v'istafus ha'doros ha'rishonim v'inyonei avoseinu ha'kdoshim on redes Yaakov v'zar l'mitzrayim." He says, in the first Sefer, in Sefer Bereishis, so there the Torah describes the creation of the world and the evolution of the first generations and our ancestors, the holy ancestors, until Yaakov goes down to Egypt. Uve Sefer Hasheni Sipra Torah Mashe Hereu Shami Mama Mitzrayim Begolos. And in the second Sefer, the Torah describes to us how the Egyptians harmed them in exile. Vishibur and slavery. Vigale Mashem Ayde Moshe Ve'Aaron. And God redeemed them through Moshe and Aaron. Vanisim Shanasul Hem Mitzrayim. And the miracles that happened to them in Egypt. Valayam and by the sea. Uve Derech HaMidbar in the desert. Ad Boam El Har Sinai until they got to Har Sinai. Vishami go kulam lamalos hanavu, and there they arrived. They reached the status of nevuah prophecy. Vekiblu mipi hagvura hatorah vamitzvos, and there they received from Hashem the Torah and the mitzvos. Umashachatu sham ba'egel, but they sinned by the golden calf. Echniskaper lohem havonahu, and how they were atoned for their sin. Vishasu asa mishkan, and they made the mishkan. Kadesh tishrei beinei mashchina halokit, so that the God's divine presence should dwell amongst the vashkachal yona. And the higher divine prophets, Kamosha Robe Neham Bayom Shehukam Mishkan Shana Shem Kisa Esa'ov Chvod Hashem Malei Esa Mishkan. And the higher presence they saw in their eyes in the day that the Mishkan was set up. Now, Hutzricha HaTorah Lichtov Achrov HaSefer HaZeh Shlishi. So what's the purpose of the third Sefer according to Abravanel? Levayer Bo Avodas HaMikdash. So now we're talking about holy stuff, right? The Avoda of the Mikdash. Ve'echa Yavdu HaKohanim Esa Elokeihem. And how the Kohanim should serve their God, and atone for Bnei Yisrael from their sins. V'shehem yishtalu tamid la'ayin das Torah Hashem. And it's about the Kohanim studying the Torah of God. Chukosam mishpatam mishpatav. His laws to and his statutes la'hayishira sa'am. To strain out the people. Alam dem as aderech yachubo. To teach them the way they should follow. V'esa masir shi'asun. And what they should do. Komo shamar. Ki sifsei kohen yishmeru das. That the lips of the Kohen will guard the wisdom of a Torah Yavakshu and Pihu, and we will seek Torah from his mouth. You'll go to the Kohen to Levi, and they will teach you the way of the judgment. Right, they're going to teach you. And therefore, you should give them, you know, some food. So they all their needs, so they don't have to, so they shouldn't have to burn themselves. Actually, provide for them, so they won't have to burn themselves, and they won't be able to do, you know, they'll be, you know, seeking their needs. But that they, you know, you need to provide for them, for their needs, for their wife and their kids, so they can teach Torah. And Hashem wanted that they should be distinct in their clothing, their midos, and their intellectual level. Shlo yitamul amesim. They shouldn't come in contact with the dead. Like kukarcha barosham. They shouldn't, you know, make bald spots in their head. And paskam legalechem. And they hadras peneim. You know, they shouldn't shave off their beards. Shlo yisu ezo ishet hatizdam kimaruia lehem betaru nekius. They have to only marry certain women. Vishinazu miyain v'sheicha b'vom lavoda avoda. And they should separate from wine when they come to do the avoda. V'lo yakvu balmum v'lo zakin lavod. Lavod mizbech, you can't be someone with a blemish. You can't be an elder person. A lot of these are topics unto themselves to serve in the mizbech. V'shiyu mikudashim b'chol yom, should be holy. They should be holy in all their deeds. K'mo shemar kadoshim yiyu lelokeihem. They should be holy for God. V'tzivu asam shiyachavdu as a kohen. And the people are commanded, they should honor the kohen. Shemar, it says v'kidashta kadosh yalach. You should be holy. Why is this sefer called? What's the sefer called? Torah's Kohanim. It's all about the Kohanim who are Kadosh. Again, if you just read the introduction to Sefer Bravanel, to Sefer Vayikra by the Bravanel, you would conclude the sefer is all about the Kedusha, the holiness of the Kohen. That's what you would conclude. Whether you agree or disagree, that's the Abravanel's position. Okay? And it's all about the Kohen. And why is that interesting? It's interesting and it's fascinating. Because now if you look at the Abravanel, in his introduction to this Parsha, he just completely changes his tune. What does he say? V'yomer Hashem al Moshe, emor el kohanim b'nei Aaron ad v'kohen ha'gadol me'achav. And he talks about, you know, this introduction. This is the beginning of the opening line of Parsha's emor. He says, Kavar Biarti Bakdama Sefer Shishas. I already explained in the introduction of this third book. Shizea Sefer Batara Selokim Hoya Bakdushas Amo. That this book of the book of the Torah of God, what's it about? Kedushas Amo. The Kedusha of his people. No, that's not what you said, Abravanel. Velachain Hikdim Kedushas Ha'am Akarbados Lemineham. Achach Hikdisham Vidila Metumas Amachol Metumas Nagarm Vizav Mizavos. And therefore, initially, when we're talking about the Kedusha of the people, we focus on the Korbanos that the people would bring, and then how he sanctified them, and he separated them from the Tuma that's associated with foods, and the Tuma of other different types of ritual impurity, of Negaim, of different afflictions, and Zavim and Zavos. V'achach bas horas Tumas Mikdash v'Kadash, and then the Tuma of the Mikdash. V'achach Higdisham v'Nashim v'Yisur Arayas v'Mitzvah Samur Slamala. Then other forbidden certain relationships, and then the mitzvahs from Parshas Kedoshim, and then Vakaki Kaddish the Kodim, and then afterwards he sanctifies the Kodim, and afterwards he Kaddish the Ars, then he sanctifies the land, Bishmitas Viovel, Umakadish Be'erchin, and then other Kedusha of Erchin, if you Masros, other types of donations, Bikidush Batim, and sanctifying your houses, Bikvar Sefer, Midera Hazah Hechel, Bikdoshim Tiyu. In this way, he starts with Kedoshim Tiyu, V'hishlim Be'amro, V'yesin Li Kedoshim. This, he totally changes his tune. In his introduction in Sefer Yikra, it's all about who? The Kohanim. Torah's Kohanim. It's all about the Kohen, the real Kohen. And now all of a sudden, he changes his tune. In Parsha Emor, you know what the Sefer is all about? It's about the Kedusha of the people. It's like, what's going on here? It's a little strange.
It does say, Matan Torah, Matan Torah.
Yes. Exactly. Right. Oh, 100% it does, Baruch. So that's what's fascinating. What's fascinating is that the Bravadel takes an about-face here. He goes from his introduction to Sefer Vayikra, and he says that this is called Torah's Kodim because it's all about the Kohen. And then, in the introduction to Emor, he's like, no. This is all about the Kedusha of the people, and he doesn't say it explicitly, but I'm sure he has in mind what you just said, that in Parshas Yisro, where you're saying that Bnei Yisro is supposed to be a Mamlechas Kohanim, but Goy Kadosh, a kingdom of Kohanim. What happened? Rabbi Shalom Carmi, so he was my Jewish philosophy professor at YU. So he has a fascinating explanation to resolve this tension. He says the following. Initially, it seems as if the theme is the Kohanim. But as we progress through the Sefer, because on the surface, Korbanos, who does the Korbanos? The Kohen, right? Everything's about the Kohen. But as we progress through the Sefer, especially from Parshas Kedoshim to Parshas Emor, we realize that God's relationship with Klal Yisrael is the more significant theme. In other words, we think that the Sefer of Holiness is all about the Kohanim. We may think initially that they are qualitatively different than non-Kohanim, but we eventually realize that the Sefer of Holiness is for all members of Klal Yisrael, Kohanim and non-Kohanim. And maybe with this answer of Rabbi Carmi, we can also explain a curious order of the Parshios. Because I might have argued that really Parshas Emor maybe should have been moved up a bit. In other words, if the first half of the Sefer, like Rabbi Liebtag, for example, so I love he has a great division of Sefer Vayikra. He says, I'm sure he's not the first one to say this, but I read it first from him. First half of Sefer Vayikra is about Kedusha in the Mikdash, sanctity in the Mikdash. And the second half of Sefer Vayikra is Kedusha outside the Mikdash. Right? So I would have thought that, you know, the Kohanim are, what do? They mostly serve in the Mikdash. So I would have thought that I would have put Parshas Emor before Parshas Kedusha. In other words, I would have done all the Mikdash stuff, right? The first half, all the Mikdash stuff, together with the Emor, with all the special rules for the Kohen. And then afterwards, we're going to talk about outside the Mikdash and mention Kedoshim. It's fascinating that Parshas Kedoshim precedes Parshas Emor. And as if I were Oregon, if I had different Parshios, right, and I was saying which goes first, which comes second, I might not have placed Kedoshim before Emor. I might have done, let's do all the Kohen, Korban, Mikdash stuff first, and then we'll talk about Kedusha outside the Mikdash. So perhaps along these same lines, we can argue that had Parshas Emor been first, we might have thought that the Kohanim are inherently superior and the Bnei Yisrael have to try to achieve the status of Kohanim. In other words, if we would have had, like, you know, the first half of Sefer Vayikra is all about the Mikdash and all about the holiness of the Mikdash and then all the rules of the Kohen with the Mikdash. So, like, you know, they serve in the Mikdash. You know, they're a totally different parsha. We could never achieve them. Okay, then you guys who don't go to the Mikdash, you people who don't go to the Mishkan, you people who are forbidden from entering into the where Hashem Shekhinah is, you know, most focused and most concentrated. So again, you can't achieve this high level. The first half, that's for, like, you know, the highest level people. And then we have for, like, everyone else. Everyone else, you can be Kadosh at your old level. But nah, you can't be like the Kohen. So the Torah perhaps begins with Parshas Kedoshim to tell you what? No. Everyone is holy. You know, he's telling you, okay, you know what? This is the job. You know, you want to be Karbonos, this is what you do. You want to be Karbonos, this is what the Kohanim do. And here are some other rules about the Mikdash. But now when we talk about the holiness of the person, so we first have to say Kedoshim to you. Parshas Kedoshim have to be first. All of Klal Yisrael is equally holy. And in fact, you know, there's a Sfarno, there are other Mepharshim who say this, that indeed, it wasn't originally the plan that the Kohanim would serve in the Avodah, Shevet Levi would serve the Avodah. Then there is in Parshas Bamidbar, Paragimel, Pasuk Zion, where after Hashem tells Moshe, it says, bring forth the Shevet Levi to serve in the Mikdash. It says, Vishamu es Mishmar Tov, es Mishmar Tov, Kol Ha'edah. You should serve the Mishmarets for the whole Kol Ha'edah. What's Kol Ha'edah? What's the Mishmarets Kol Ha'edah? So Sfarta points out, La'avodis, Avodis HaMishkan, L'sharis B'tzarchei Avoda. They should be involved in the needs of the service. Shizeh Roy La'adas HaSanhedrin. Originally, it's supposed to be for everyone. In other words, the Sanhedrin, it wasn't limited to Shevet Levi. They earned the right when they, after the Chet Egel, they said, when Moshe Mila Shem Eli, so Levi comes to Moshe. But they weren't holier than the rest of Klal Yisrael. They have a certain job. They were awarded for their loyalty, allegiance to Moshe. They got a certain job. But they're not holier. In fact, again, when the Torah begins to discuss who is holy, it doesn't first begin, oh, the Kohanim are holy, and then the rest of us are also holy. No, no. When the Torah is first mentioning who's holy, it's everyone. Doshi Tiu, you could all be holy. And then the Torah says, okay, again, then the Torah is saying the significance of Emor, the status of the Kohen, is simply that his role is to assist, as you were all mentioning, is to teach the people and to assist the nation in achieving Kedusha. And I think the message is pretty simple. We shouldn't think that those people who are spiritual leaders or those people who engage in public ritual are inherently better or inherently holier than non-spiritual leaders and people who don't engage in public ritual. Each one of us has the potential to become holy through the mitzvos mentioned in Parshas Kedoshim. And really, the task of a good spiritual leader is to help you develop your own potential. And I love this line by Rav Hirsch, that Rav Hirsch quoted before, that when, you know, this is not in this Parsha, but when Eldad and Medad are prophesizing, right? Remember the, in Parsha Baloscha, when there were 70 elders who were selected and Eldad and Medad were not selected, but they started prophesizing in the camp and Yeshua was all nervous. And Moshe said, oh, halavai, if everyone should be Nevi. And Rav Hirsch says, halavai, I shouldn't be needed. That's what Moshe is saying. In other words, the goal is not the goal of a good spiritual leader or of a good public ritual leader, whoever it is, like Moshe Rabbeinu, is not simply to say, okay, you're going to become holy through me. No, the goal is that I should become a Nesser, that everyone should reach the stage of Nevuah. So I think that perhaps at least the Abravanel's position is a fascinating one, that on the surface, sometimes you look at people, and they, oh, they're holier. They're at a different level. And that's how we initially react to Parsha to Sefer Vayikra when we look at it. Oh, this is the Kohen's Sefer. This is a Sefer, they're Sefer. They're inherently different than us. But as we go through the Sefer, we realize, no, Kedoshim Tiyu, and we're all holy. They have a job. They have an important job. But we're all holy. And furthermore, that's why Kedoshim precedes Emor. We're all holy, and the Kohen have a job. Their job is to assist us into achieving our holiness and to reaching our potential.
Rabbi,